Parshas Toldos, Tovshin Ayin. These Parshas of the Torah, especially the first 1.5 Chumashim, deal with stories of tzaddikim. And it's a very special highlight in Breslov, the fact that Rabbi Nachman himself told us that as a child, the thing that gave him the rocket fuel in Avodas Hashem, in having tremendous desire to come close to Hashem and to serve Hashem, was the fact that he was privileged to be raised in the house where the Baal Shem Tov lived. Rabbi Nachman was a great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Her name was Fega, and her mother was Odel, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. And being raised in that house, after the Baal Shem Tov passed away, when the students of the Baal Shem Tov would want to come to the city of Mezhebush to spend time davening at the kever of the Baal Shem Tov, they would get together at that house and speak and tell over stories of things that they experienced during the life of the Baal Shem Tov. And he said, as a child, hearing these stories, this is what really imbued in him a love for Hashem and a desire to serve Hashem and to go up in Yiddishkeit. And this is one of the reasons why Rabbi Nizal emphasizes Hashem showed us such a kindness in starting the Torah with stories, not just starting it, but the first entire Chumash, the entire Chumash of Bereishis, and half of Shemois is all basically stories which are intended to give us that rocket fuel that we need to come close to Hashem. So now we come to the opening lines of Parshas Toldos, where we find that Yitzchak Avinu marries Rivka, and he realizes as years are going by that they're childless. And the Torah says, Vayetar Yitzchok Lashem Lenoichach Ishtoi. Yitzchok Avinu prayed to Hashem opposite his wife, alongside his wife. Note, it doesn't say Vayispalel, it uses the word Vayetar. And Rashi HaKodesh says, Hirbo Vehiftzir Betfila. Two incredibly powerful words. Hirba, a lot, and haftzora, lahaftzir, means to insist, to be very persistent, betfilah. And this is an incredible point that's emphasized throughout our Sforim. We know that Rabbi Nachman said that just as Dovid HaMelech said, va'ani tfilah, that my main message, my main contribution to Klal Yisrael is tefillah. Dovid HaMelech gave us the Sefer Tehillim, the five books of Tehillim, which match the five books of the Torah, of the written Torah. And these five books of Tehillim, Dovid HaMelech wrote with Ruach HaKodesh, whereby the Sforim tell us he included the needs of every single Jew throughout all generations. Every Jew, from the beginning of time till the end of time, anything and everything they could possibly want to ask Hashem for is included in the words of Dovid HaMelech in Tehillim. Now, the people that would say, that's ridiculous, that's absurd, you're talking about billions of people, etc. We know that one of the stories that's told about one of the earlier tzaddikim, the Ramban, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, who lived during the time of the Rishonim. The Ramban had a student who left him, and this student left Yiddishkeit to the point where at one point, on Yom Kippur, he went ahead and ate chazer, and it was on Yom Kippur, which was Shabbos, the whole series of things, and he asked his rabbi, tell me how many Isurei Kores I just violated. And the rabbi, I believe, said the number was 5, and he said, no, it's actually 6. And he added something that was left out. And the Ramban looked at him and said, why? How? How could somebody like you were one of my close students, what caused you to leave? To leave me, to leave Yiddishkeit, and to fall so far down? So he said to him, I'll tell you very honestly, in one of the shiurim that you gave, you were speaking about the Shiras Ha'azinu. the special song that Moshe Rabbeinu says towards the end of his life, towards the end of the Torah, and you mentioned that every single Jew can be found in Shiras Hazinu. And I heard that. That sounded so absurd that I couldn't accept that. And because I once there was something I couldn't accept, that weakened my faith in you and in the Torah and everything. And I still feel that that's not true. It's impossible that every Jew is in Shiras Hazinu. And I'd like to see if you could tell me where I'm in Shiras Hazinu. The Ramban looked at him very carefully and he said, okay. And he walked off into a corner, he stood in a corner, and he was mispalil to Hashem. The Ramban was mispalil, obviously asking Hashem to open his eyes and to give him the ability to see in Parshas Hazinu exactly where this student is found. This student's name was Avner. Sure enough, he was there for a few minutes, came back and said, I'll show you exactly where. There's a pasuk in Hazina where it says, Omarti afehem ashbisa me'enosh zichron, where Hashem rebukes the Jewish people and he says that at a certain point they're going to go so far off the track that I'm going to have to say to them, I'm going to wipe you off the map, just about. I'm going to erase your memory from the world. And he said to him, if you take a look at those words, ashbisa afehem ashbisa me'eretz zichram, I believe it's the third letter of each one of those words, spells the word Avner. Aleph Beis Nun Resh. This student heard this. Now this was about 1,000 years ago, approximately 1,000 years ago. There were no computers, there were no scanners. The Ramban didn't sit down for a few hours looking on paper. He saw exactly what the Ramban did. He went into a corner, he looked up to Hashem, he was mispalel, and he came back with the answer. So this student saw the Ruach HaKodesh of the Ramban, and he saw that the Torah is emes. That if a tzaddik says that in this parsha, this one parsha Hazinu, which is 52 psukim, it's one of the smallest parshas in the entire Torah, and he said every single Jew can be found there, and he showed it to him, then obviously every single word that the Ramban had taught him till then was also true. And it's written that this student went ahead, he took a small boat, went out into the ocean, and was never heard from again. In other words, it was fulfilled in him, this pasuk, Omarti afehem ashbisa me'eretz zichram. His memory was erased, Rachmona Litzlan. So when we say, that in the Sefer Tehillim, Dovid HaMelech wrote this with such a high level of Ruach HaKodesh that every single Jew can find himself in the Sefer Tehillim. And in fact, Rabbi Nachman told us that when a Jew says Tehillim, they're supposed to recite it that way, with the understanding that these words were written for me. All the trials and tribulations and the difficulties and the ups and downs that Dovid HaMelech describes, his happy moments, his major successes, and the opposite, are all referring to me. And in fact, one of Rabbi Nazal's students once asked him, but hold on a second, what about where Dovid HaMelech says, Shomro Nafshi Ki Chosid Ani? Where Dovid HaMelech says, Hashem, protect me because I am Chosid, I am very righteous. How do I apply that to myself? And Rabbi Nachman said to him, don't be funny. That pasuk also, it does, each and every Jew has to apply it to himself in a certain way, to be able to give himself a certain chizuk, to be able to look for the good points inside of myself, and to know that in this particular nekuda, in this mitzvah, in this fraction of this mitzvah that I did with good intention, there is an aspect of chassid in that, there is an aspect of righteous goodness, specialness, even in me. So here, these stories where we find the tzaddikim, we see that the struggles of these greatest tzaddikim, Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka Imenu, both struggling, wanting to fulfill the first mitzvah in the Torah, wanting to bring a child into the world, knowing full well that the future of the world, and especially of the Jewish people, is dependent on them, And hours are going by, days are going by, weeks are going by, months, years, and nothing's happening. And the Torah says, what did they do? Hirba v'hiftzir b'tfila. They were relentless. They were persistent. Another round. I davened, don't see any results yet. The Pasuk says, kaveh Hashem, pray to Hashem. If you if you don't see anything happening, chazak v'ameitz libecha, tighten yourself up, firm yourself up, v'kaveh Hashem, and go another round. And by the Torah showing us that tzaddikim of this caliber, that for them it didn't come easy, it took this kind of persistence, akshonus, stubbornness, to keep going again and again, in order for them to achieve their goal, then we certainly can't allow ourselves to be disappointed, to be disheartened. If it seems to us that we're asking for something a long time, and we're asking for it many times, and nothing seems to be happening, it seems as if nothing is going on, the Torah has made it perfectly clear to us that that's no proof at all. It's only when a person has gone to the maximum, which none of us know. There's one Jew in the Torah that was told by Hashem, stop praying. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu when he was praying to get to Eretz Yisrael. He prayed 515 tefillos, and Hashem said, Rav Lach, that's enough. Al toisev dabar elai oid. Hashem said to him, Rav Lach, you have fulfilled the full spectrum of tefillah. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, vo'eschanan, I prayed, and the word vo'eschanan is bigimatria tefillah, showing that his tefillah was shlemus hatefillah, 515, the maximum. Hashem said to him, now stop, because even though you want to get to Eretz Yisrael, and even though I would love for you to get to Eretz Yisrael, if you get to Eretz Yisrael now, it's going to present all kinds of problems for Klal Yisrael. There's all kinds of reasons why it's not the right time now. And in fact, we find one of the great tzaddikim in the 1500s, the Megala Amukos, Rav Nosson Nota Shapira, wrote a sefer, an entire sefer, 252 chapters of drushim based on Kabbalah, based on Torah Shebirikla and Torah Shebinister, giving 252 different explanations, major explanations, as to why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so desperately to get to Eretz Yisrael at that time, and how Hashem's response to him explained to him why he was better off and Klal Yisrael and the entire world were better off if he did not go to Eretz Yisrael at that time. What happened with all of those tefillos, though? Do tefillos go lost? I once had the privilege of hearing from my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Rosenfeld Zal, who said that we know Rabbi Nachman said about himself, as we mentioned earlier, Va'ani tefila, that he also came to the world to be mechadish, the incredible importance of tefila, speaking to Hashem. And in trying in anything and everything he achieved in his life, it was always through tefillah. Just as the Gemara points out about Elisha Hanavi, the closest student of Eliyahu Hanavi, the Gemara says, Ve'elisha da'ovid berachmihu da'ovid. Everything Elisha Hanavi accomplished, all the miracles, everything, was accomplished berachmi, with tefillah. So Rabbeinu Zal also, everything he accomplished was with tefillah. And Rav Rosenfeld Zal explained that Rabbeinu Zal took the tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu, those 500 tefillos, and he added his tefillah to that. Rabbi Nachman added his tefillah to that, that va'ani tefillah, I am tefillah, that's one more than 515, which is 516, which is the numerical value of Rabbi Nachman ben Feger, and that's how he got to Eretz Yisrael. So that the tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu did not go lost. They were used by Rabbeinu Zal, and those tefillos are used by each and every single one of us. Every Jew who wants to get to Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says clearly that Eretz Yisrael is one of the three things that comes through Yisurim difficulty. We have this well, we have this reservoir to draw from. These tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared, just like the Gemara points out about Avram Avinu, about the Ovos HaKadoshim, that when they came to certain places, certain cities, they were mispalel, and the Gemara says they were planting tefillos, they were preparing tefillos in advance because they saw Baruch HaKadosh, that hundreds of years later, or thousands of years later in certain cases, their descendants would go through major crises in these places, and the Ovos HaKadoshim prepared tefillos in advance that would help their great-great-great-great-grandchildren in the future. So we have this concept also, where there are times that a person applies tremendous tefillah to something, and it seems to them as if there's zero results, and the person has no idea that Hashem could be using that tefillah for their children, grandchildren, great-grandchilden, or as Rabbeinu Zal points out in a chapter in Likutei Moran, that there are times when the tefillah is used for a higher purpose. A person is davening for A, and Hashem knows that there's a Y that's needed that's infinitely more important than the A is davening for. One example that Rabbi Nachman gives is the concept of gerim, that in order for a non-Jew, those non-Jews who are qualified to come and join B'nai Israel, in order for that to happen, it requires incredible, incredible spiritual energy. And sometimes Hashem will divert tefillos that Jews are being mispalel for their own personal needs, certain things where they're davening with tremendous intensity. Hashem will divert that tefillah and apply it towards this purpose of bringing about gerim. The commentaries in Likutei Moran point out, but hold on a second, still, what about me? What about the fact that I need this thing? And they make it perfectly clear that the person will definitely get the thing that they were mispalel for, just it'll take a little bit longer. In other words, had the tefillah, had the part of that tefillah not had to be diverted and used for that other purpose, they might have gotten the thing within a day, within a week, within a month, because a major part of the energy of their tefillah had to be diverted and used for another purpose. Because of that, it'll take longer for them to receive what they asked for, but they will eventually get it. So here, this is a tremendous chizuk for us to renew ourselves. Tonight happens to be Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and Rabbeinu Zal said that one of the most important things in serving Hashem is his chatshus. A person always approaching anything we do in Yiddishkeit like it's the first time. If a person presents a tefillah, if Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka Imenu were davening like it was the 600th tefillah or the 800th tefillah, when you're doing something for 600 times, it doesn't have that specialness, that freshness, that newness, that excitement in it. When a person does something like it's the first time, that's something that's very special. And this is why the Jewish people, our calendar goes by Chodoshim. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim, about Nisan, our year. The year is divided up into months, and months are this term Chodesh, which is Miloshen Hischachus. That we are like the moon. The moon has ups and downs. The sun is a constant light, which reflects the non-Jews, where things for them are standard. Whereas the Jewish people are compared to the moon, the Levana, which during the first half of the month, it becomes larger every day, growing in visibility. The second half of the month becoming smaller, smaller, until it just about disappears and then comes back fresh and new. Mechadesh Chodoshim. That's the bracha that we make on Rosh Chodesh. Hashem who renews the months. And this is our power. This is what makes a person's tefillah or a person's mitzvah really effective, is when it's done with this hischachus, with the newness, when a person is able to black out the past, to put it out of their mind that I asked for this before, and I'm asking it for it now, I'm asking for this item now for the first time. We know the example of a child, a small child, when a child wants a parent to give something, children can be very obnoxious, very persistent, very stubborn. But again, even a kid, if he says it, if he repeats exactly what he said last time, it's one thing. If he comes up with a new approach, a new argument, it becomes much more difficult to refuse it. Now the Torah continues and tells us that there were two children developing inside of Rivka, and the first one came out, Vayetze Horishain Admoni. The first one came out, and he was red. The Sforim HaKadoshim tell us that this redness of Esav was a reflection of the fact that all we know that a woman goes through different periods. There's a period of cleanliness, where she's clean, where she's pure, which is represented by whiteness, and there's a period when she is impure, tameh. During that period of impurity, there's a flow of blood that's referred to as dam midois, and it's brought that Esav HaRosha, while he was inside the womb of Rivka, he drew all of this dam midois, all the impurity went inside of him, so that Yaakov Avinu would be able to remain totally pure, lily white in a sense. And this is why the Torah points out, Vayetze Horishon Admoni, the first one was Esav. We know that usually the rule in Kiddusha is Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voiker. First there's darkness, then there's light. That the husk, the klipa, precedes the fruit. Esav comes out red. Redness represents gevura, harshness, judgment, in many cases represents evil. We know the Gemara says Rabbi Meir Daik Bishmo, that Rabbi Meir used to read a lot into the name of a person or the name of a place. And the Torah gives us examples of this, where the name carries tremendous weight in defining a person or a place. The Torah points out about Esav, that Vayikru, everyone called him Esav, because they saw that he was completely made. They saw he was hairy, like an adult. Something that's not, something that doesn't need to be developed anymore. Totally ready, completely ready. So here again, the name was a reflection of what Esav was about. And yet the Torah tells us that Yitzchok Avinu, the Tzadik Hador, the Tzadik of the generation, one of the forefathers of the Jewish people, saw Esav and he liked him to the extent where he actually wanted to give him the brachas. When Yitzchok Avinu was about to pass away, he prepared Esav and he sent him on a mission to go bring me food so that I can give you the blessing before I pass away. On the other hand, we find many years later, Hashem sends one of the greatest prophets of all time, Shmuel Anovi, to go anoint a king for Klal Yisrael. Shmuel Anovi, who had been the one to anoint Shaul HaMelech, the first king, and Shaul HaMelech showed himself to be unworthy to have the kingdom remain in his family. So Hashem sends Shmuel Anovi, I want you to go to the house of Yishai, and there I want you to anoint his son to be the next king of Klal Yisrael. And the Torah tells us that Shmuel Anovi goes, and he sees, he has Yishai bring his sons in front of him. And the first one is brought, I believe his name was Eliyav, tall, handsome, very powerful, and Shmuel Anovi looks, and he's almost positive that this is the one who Hashem had in mind. And Hashem says, no, that's not the one. The next son is brought, also tall, powerful, not the one. Third son, fourth, fifth, sixth. And he says to Yishai, any, that's it? Yishai says, yes, that's pretty much it. Do you have any more sons? Not that I can think of. Oh yeah, we have, but he's with the sheep. He's like one of the sheep. He's not really part of the family. He hangs out with the sheep in the, bring him. They bring in Dovid HaMelech, and Shmuel Anovi sees this young man, Dovid HaMelech, and he sees that he's Admoni, he's reddish. And Dovram and Shmuel Anavi says, Af ze shoifer domim ke'esav? Could this imply, could this red complexion imply that he's also a murderer like Esav? So the Medrash says, Omar la Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Shmuel Anavi, in Yafei Einayim, look at his eyes. He has beautiful eyes. He ain't no Esav. This is Dovid Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. This is the Malchus Tikdusha. This is the top of the top. We know that when the Torah describes Esav, one of the most outstanding characteristics was the concept of Ra'ayim. When Esav comes to attack Yaakov Avinu, to threaten and to challenge Yaakov Avinu, he brings with him an army of 400 men, and it's brought that 400 is Begimatria Ra'ayim, the evil eye. That was the power of Esav Harosha, this Ra'ayim. Whereas Lahavdil, Dovra Melech is called Admoini Yefei Einayim. But now comes the question, how could it be that Yitzchok Avinu seems to have been fooled by Esav HaRosha? He sees Esav, he sees the redness, and he wants to give him the bracha. And on the other hand, Shmuel Hanavi sees Dovid HaMelech, Lahavdil, he sees the redness, and he's just about positive that that's clear proof that he's unworthy, until Hashem himself has to tell him, no, Im Yafei Einayim, this is the worthy one. And this is a point that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in Likutei Moran, in chapter 22, and Rabbi Nosson Zal discusses this in several places in Likutei Halachos. That there is one of the most important attributes that a Jew needs in order to come close to Hashem, in order to come close to Tzadikim, in order to get to Eretz Yisrael, is Azus. Azus means brazenness, toughness, strength. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where it says, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, one of the great rabbis of the Gemara, says, Hevi az kanomer, that if a Jew wants to serve Hashem, if a person wants to be religious, he wants to be part of the Jewish nation, he has to be brazen like a leopard. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur Shulchan Aruch, begins with that quote. The opening line of the code of Jewish law that starts the whole Torah is Yehuda ben Tema Omer Hevi Az Kanomer. This is how critical this ingredient is. It's a prerequisite to everything. The Gemara says, Lo Nitna Torah LeBnei Yisrael Ela Mepnei She'Azenhein. The Torah was given to the Jewish people only because they have this azus. And there are two ways that this is interpreted. One interpretation is that because the Jews are so brazen, they have so much chutzpah, they need the Torah more than any other nation. They need the refuah more than anybody. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is that the only reason why we were given the Torah is because we have this azus digdusha. We have a brazenness that we use properly, that we use to come close to Hashem, that we use to bang down the door when it seems that the door is closed. We will persist and persist until that door opens to let us inside. But now, this Mishnah begins with the words, Hevi az kanomer, and a couple of lines later in the same Mishnah it says, Az ponim legehenim, that a person who has azus, it's a one-way ticket to Gehenim. How do we figure this out? How do we work this out? And this conflict, we have an Esav who is Admoini, and we have Lahavdalei Dovid HaMelech who is Admoini. Rabbeinu Zal points out that in that Mishnah, that's possibly one of the only Mishnayos in Shas, where in the middle of the Mishnah there's a tefillah. Yehi Ratzon Shetivne Beis HaMikdash. In that Mishnah where Yehuda ben Tema Omer says, Hevi Az Kanomer, Ratz Katzir, And it says, and Yehi Rotzon, may it be the will of Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to build the Beis HaMikdash. Strange, in the middle of a Mishnah, to insert a tefillah. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this all fits perfectly. There's Azus, and there's Azus. There's Azus de Gedusha, there's a brazenness of holiness, there's a constructive brazenness, without which a person cannot come close to Hashem. If a person is weak, if a person doesn't have the toughness to persist and to overcome obstacles and to climb fences, the Pasuk says, Nehalta v'ozcha el nevei kodshecha. Hashem, you led us with oiz, with this azus, el nevei kodshecha, to the abode of your holiness, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Shivaroyim. Rabbeinu Zal Nekudeman writes, in order to come close to the tzaddikim, to the seven shepherds of the Jewish people, to a Jewish leader, requires azus dikdusha. The Yetzirah, the Satan, the evil inclination, knows very well how the entire success of a Jew in their Judaism depends on coming close to tzaddikim, coming close to the Beis HaMikdash, to Eretz Yisrael. And the Yetzirah then tries to inject into a person this shyness, suddenly to become a softy, a patsy, to be shy, to be afraid to ask, to be afraid to ask questions, to be afraid to persist, because the Yetzirah knows that if the person will have those fears, those wrong kind of fears, and that wrong kind of shyness, the person will never get, will never achieve the goals that they want to get to. So here's where the Mishnah says, Hevi az kanomer. A person has to have this brazenness, this toughness. On the other hand, this term chutzpah, this brazenness, if a person takes it a drop too far, it could be deadly, could be very dangerous, because the Mishnah says, az ponim legehenim, that if a Jew displays chutzpah at a time or in a place that's inappropriate or to an extent that's crossing that line, chas v'sham, it's the end. It's Gehenim chas v'sham. So what do we do? How in the world can a person figure this out? And the secret is, in this Yehi Rotzoin Shiyabona Beis HaMikdash, the secret is tefillah. That this is something which if a person tries to figure this out with intelligence, the Yetzirah can play with you and can get you to misjudge when to use the brazenness and when not to. When to apply the Azus, when it's Azus Digdusha, and when it's Azus the Sitra Achra Chas V'Shom. The Gemara warns, when it comes to dealing with Tzadikim, Talmidei Chachamim, Hizaharu Begachalton Shema Tikove. Be careful, they're like hot coals. You touch it the wrong way, you get burned terribly, Chas V'Shom. So a person approaching a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, it requires tremendous care, fragile, delicateness. And at the same time, we need this Azus Dikdusha. How do we do this? The only way a person can get this right is through tefillah. And this is the tefillah that appears in that Mishnah, Yehi Rotzon Shetivne Beis HaMikdash, because of this, the ingredient that's required for the building of the Beis HaMikdash is this Nehalta V'ozcha El Nevei Kodshecha, this Azus Dikdusha, this proper kind of Azus. Meaning that a person has to beg Hashem, guide me, show me when to be tough, when to be brazen, when to run, when to walk, when to push, when not to push. There's a concept of al tidchak es hashor, that if a person tries to force an issue, to try to take something before the right time, it's very dangerous. Usually it has terrible results. So on one hand, you're telling me to persist, to be stubborn, chazak ve'amitz libecha v'kav yel Hashem, and on the other hand, you're telling me, careful, slowly, shwaya shwaya, as they say in Arabic, slowly. Make up your mind. Which is it? How do I know? The answer is you don't. Hashem knows. And this is where you have to plead with Hashem, beg Hashem for guidance. This is the v'sakneinu b'eitza toivu, this is the b'atzos chatancheni, Hashem guide me, lead me, to know how to apply this the right way. And Rav Nosson Zalke is an incredible source for this in Yiddishkeit. We know that the holiest day of the year in many ways is Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that the word Hasatan, the evil inclination, Hasatan is Begimatria 364. That 364 days a year, the evil inclination is effective. There's one day a year that he's powerless, and that's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is such a high level of holiness that the Satan is ineffective. That's the one day of the year that the Kohen Gadol, the holiest Jew, was allowed to enter into the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Holy of Holies, and bring special offerings there to achieve a complete atonement for the Jewish people. On this day of Yom Kippur, one of the highlights of Yom Kippur was where the Kohen Gadol would take two goats, and these two goats, the Torah says, had to look identical. Same height, same size, had to be where you couldn't tell them apart. And they would draw lots, they would make a lottery, where one of these goats would be Lahashem, one of these goats was used as a Soyer Lashem, Kodesh Kodosh, Kodesh Kodoshim, the highest level of holiness, where its blood was sprinkled in the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdosh, Soyer Lashem. The other one was not even slaughtered kosher, no Shechita, no Zrika Sadam, not used in the Beis HaMikdosh. They took it out of the Beis HaMikdosh, they took it out of Yerushalayim. They took it for a long walk to a mountain called Azazel. And from this mountain, they pushed this goat off the mountain. First, they would place, on a spiritual level, they would place all the sins of all the Jewish people on this goat. They would transfer it onto this goat. And then this goat was pushed off the mountain. And by falling off the mountain, was torn to shreds, crashing along the sides of the mountain, and this would help to bring about a complete atonement for the sins of the Jewish people. What is this all about? Rav Nosson Zalke says, the Hebrew word for goat is az, miloshen azus, and the Gemara tells us, in fact, goats are known for their brazenness, their chutzpah. There are these two goats that look identical. There's Azus and there's Azus. There's the Azus Digdusha, the Soyer Lashem, and there's Azus the Sitrachra, Azponim Legehenim. Person looks at them with their physical eyes, they look identical. How is the decision, how can one decide which one is going to be the Soyer Lashem and which one is going to be the Soyer Azazel? We had the greatest rabbis. We had Moshe Rabbeinu. We had Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol. Could anybody decide this using their intellect? No. They drew lots. A goyrel. They made a lottery to pick which one, pick out of the hat, which piece of paper says Lashem, which one says Lazozel, and that's what would determine which is which. A goyrel means we're taking, it's not in our hands. We're putting it in Hashem's hands. We flip a coin, heads I win, tails you lose. We're putting it in Hashem's hands. We can't decide who's right. We can't decide which is the right one. So we're going to draw lots. And whatever you pick, that's a sign from Hashem that this was yours. This teaches us that this ability to decide, to define which is Azus Digdusha and which is Azus the Sitrachra, only Hashem knows this. The only place where a person can get this knowledge, to be able to know this, is through tefillah. And that's the tefillah in the Mishnah over there. The Mishnah that says, Az Kanomer, describing Az Estigdusha, and Az Ponem Legehenem, Yehi Rotzon Shetivne Beis HaMikdosh, that it's through our tefillah, by begging Hashem. I know that this is something I need. The Shulchan Aruch begins with this. That I can't get to first base without this, Az Kanomer. And yet I'm warned, Az Ponem Legehenem, the Shulchan Aruch warns a person that when you start in religion, when you're going to want to come close to Hashem, you're going to have opposition. And the opposition is going to come in all kinds of different forms. And if you're a weakling, you ain't going to stand up to that opposition. You're going to fall. You're not going to be able to get to page 2 in the Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, as Kanomer, you have to have brazenness. But the Shulchan Aruch points out right there, and it says to stand up against those who are going to mock you, those who are going to make fun of you. Religion, antiquated, ancient, cavemen, pious, beard. What do you mean? That thousands of years ago, that's before they had shavers, and before people became civilized, modern man, etc. Keeping Shabbos, all the different jokes and the sarcasm, the different barbs that people who are not religious and anti-religious, chas v'shalom, throw at those who would want to keep the Shulchan Aruch, those who want to come close to Hashem. So a person has to have this azus dikdusha. And yet the Shulchan Aruch says right there, but be careful. This is nitroglycerin. This is dynamite. This is very dangerous. And if you misuse it one iota, if you answer back, if a person insults you and then you slap him back stronger, you lost, you lose. You have to know when to keep quiet and when to be able to take it, and certainly not to respond with chutzpah, with azus, but to be able to respond with a clear, calculated answer. And that's knowing how to apply this azus dikdusha and being able to avoid completely the opposite, the azus of the sidra achra. One final item on this. When Esau was about to come out, it says, V'yodoi oichezes ba'akev Esau. That Esau was coming out first, Yaakov Avinu was right behind him, and Yaakov Avinu was trying to do a football tackle, to tackle him on the way out. His hand was grabbed hold of the heel of the foot of Esau. Rav Nosson Zal says this term, akev Esau, refers to us specifically. The Gemara has an expression, ikvisa de Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. The footsteps of Mashiach, which is a time when the Jewish people are going to be under the heel of the foot of the Sidra Achra. When all the nations of the world, each one is going to look at the Jews as the lowest, the smallest. We can stomp them out. We can crush them, Rachmona Litzlan. And Rav Nosson Zal says, the Torah says, V'yodoi oichezes ba'kev Esav. The yad of Yaakov Avinu is what took hold of this akev of Esav to make sure, the Gemara says, that when Esav thinks he's about to take over, he's about to win, he's about to cross that line of success, Yaakov Avinu grabs him by the foot and tackles him, bringing him down, robbing him of that final success, Rachmona Litzlan, Baruch Hashem. This yad, what is this yad? We know that in this week's parashah it says, HaKoil Koil Yaakov V'Hayodayim Yidei Esav, that usually Yaakov Avinu is known for his koil Torah, koil tefillah. The Yodayim are the Yidei Esav, the hands represent Esav. Here it says, V'Yodoi, the yad of Yaakov Avinu. There is a hand of Yaakov Avinu. We know that when the Torah speaks about tefillah, the Zohar Kodesh says a Jew, the Chumash says, that a Jew who raises a hand, raising a hand, as soon as a Jew raises a hand, there's a light that flashes that says the word Rosha. Rosha. Rosho lomo sakir yecha. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw when Dothan and Aviram were fighting, and he saw one of them pick up his hand to strike the other one. It doesn't say he saw him hit him, he saw him lift his hand to strike him, and he said, Rosho lomo sakir yecha. For lifting his hand, he was called a Rosho. The Zohar Kodesh says a Jew has to be very careful about that act of lifting a hand. The only time a Jew lifts his hand is in tefillah, when he's pleading with Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu was doing battle against Amalek, the descendant of Esav, the grandson of Esav, it says, Vayehi Yodov Emuna, that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were outstretched in Emuna, The Targum says, Prison Betzloi. His hands were outstretched in tefillah. It's this Yad of Yaakov Avinu, this Yodoy Oichezes Barkez Esav, that in this final generation, in Ikvesa de Mashiach, when we're at the footsteps of Mashiach, we hear the footsteps of Mashiach, we're close to the end. And Rabbeinu Zal says that the nature of people when they're in battle, when one sees that the other one is about to win, they summon all their all the energy they can to make one final effort to topple them, to take away that success. So when Esav and Amalek, when all the forces of Tumah see that the end is near, that the Jews are about to be redeemed, about to come out of the Golus, there's that grand finale, that final round where they're trying to crush Klal Yisrael completely, trying to flood us with apikursis, with things that seem to defy our faith in Hashem, our faith in Tzadikim. And it's through these Yodayim, it's through this tefillah, this persistent tefillah, this Vayetar Yitzchak, that we can be assured that Esav will not win, that Esav will not get to complete his Malchus, and that before he gets to establish his Malchus permanently, the kingdom of the Jews will replace it with David Malkam Bereshem, with the coming of Moshiach ben David, ben Herabi Amenu, Amen v'Amen.
Amen.